That was what kept me the most interested in my job, was the ability to really do something, get really good at it, and hand it off to somebody else. Because if I didn't hand it off, I was going to be stuck.
Hello, xin chào các bạn. Các bạn đang nghe series podcast Thăng Tiến Như Chuyên Gia, nơi bạn có thể học hỏi những bài học thực tế từ các chuyên gia có hơn 10 năm kinh nghiệm trong lĩnh vực của họ.
We have a little mommy talk today. So Anne Vo is a longtime friend and a very experienced business person that I thought can provide a lot of professional insight to the viewers today. And so today I just want to spend a quick 15-20 minutes going over some of Anne's work experiences and then getting some really helpful tips for you young professionals that are trying to climb that career ladder. Let's learn from some experts that have gone before you and have actually made, you know, some mistakes that we can hopefully share and help everybody learn from not having to learn the hard way. Okay, so and can you start us off by telling us a little bit about your work history? Maybe just kind of run us through from beginning to end and how you got to today.
Oh dear. Okay. All right. Well, apart from my first job ever, which was selling clothes in college, my first real job after graduating from college was with actually a company in Vietnam. It was a moving and relocation company, and I was with them for 13 years.
13 years, wow.
That's a really long time for anybody. But those 13 years are actually really fun because I didn't do the same thing. I held lots of different positions, customer service, head of different departments. I was the general director of that company. This was all in Vietnam. And then later on, I had a global position in London. So lots of different roles throughout the company, lots of really different things from one another. So actually, it wasn't that boring. It was never boring. After that, I took a 2-year break. And now I'm a co-founder of a company called Unite. And this is where I am today. So that's a okay. Really quick history.
Okay, so let's start from the beginning. So, what was your first role at your first job?
Okay, so my first role was I didn't have a title. My job was to get. So I started with a company that it was pretty much a startup before startups were a thing. The company was only 2 years old. It was a moving and relocation company in Vietnam, and this was a time when Vietnam was getting really hot. Everybody was starting to move here, but nobody took care of them when they moved here, because when you move, you got to move your things. You have to move your family. You have to find a way to work legally here. I mean, your work permit, your resident cards, you have to find a home, put your kids into school, all of those things foreigners need, or even a returning Vietnamese person needs when they land in this country. Nobody was really doing that. And so this is how that company was created. It was a really young company. And my job when I came was to get it internationally accredited. You know, get a quality certification for the company, because it's like a tiny little mom and pop company in Vietnam. Nobody knows who you are. How are they going to use you if you don't have any certifications? So this is like 2005.
So how do you do that? Right. That seems really complicated to me. Right. And especially if you just graduated, you have no real experience kind of doing anything. And then now all of a sudden you have to get something certified.
That's
so
right.
How do you, it's kind of on a high level, not exactly that particular process, but on a high level, when you encounter these projects, what do you do?
Well, for this particular one, I actually didn't even know the industry at all. So number one, I use Google a lot to learn what
Google's
it was.
My best friend.
Yeah, totally. Google's my best friend. Okay, so I read what is required to be certified. And then there were a lot of gaps, like vocabulary, tons of vocabulary that I didn't know from the industry. So I had to Google all of that. Then I interviewed everybody within the company just to see what they were doing. And then I would look at, okay, this doesn't match with what the international certification is. So what do we need to do to get this to here? So I did all of that. I had 6 months to do it, did it, and then got internationally certified. Well, then throughout that journey, I realized actually a lot of things could be done even better. So then I went back and I asked every single employee, so what is it? What's difficult? What's hard in your job? And what do you think could be done better? Everybody gave me their feedback. And then I started to look at everything. And I, you know, now I know how everybody works within this machine, the cog within the machine. And then I started to see all the gaps and all the inefficiencies, et cetera. And then that's when I really got super interested in improving processes and procedures within a company.
That's great. Yeah, that's actually the path that I think about for all startups, right? So when you first start, you just get it done. You have so much work to do, so few employees. You just need to get the work done. And then the next step is you get it done well, right? Yeah. Now you already have some base and that you already have the foundation. So now you do it well. That's and then the step after that is you get it done efficiently, right? That's so you do a good job in the second level. And the third level is how do you make it faster? How do you make it cheaper with fewer people?
Exactly. Right? So,
and hearing from your experience, I mean, you basically spent 13 years climbing up this company, right? So as you moved up the company and you started noticing more things that you wanted to improve, what are some of the, I guess, kind of the key steps that someone can apply just with any general problem, right? So you started with Google and then you started talking to people. Yeah. What after that, right? Because you're gathering a lot of data. And now what do you do with that?
Okay. Well, I can just go back to my most recent position even as a product owner in London is, you do a lot of research on whatever it is that you need to do. You ask internally what's being done and you even benchmark against other companies. You reach out to other experts. And even if you don't even know who those experts are, reach out to friends who can probably connect you with somebody who knows that industry or that area that you're looking in. So use your network to get that type of information. And that's actually what I ended up doing with my most recent role, was to just really get outside resources to point me in the right direction to do what I needed to do.
So it's really important to gather the right data, continue to talk to people, get deeper if you can, find experts.
That's right. So one question that the audience might be wondering is, well, then maybe you weren't qualified for that job if you still have to figure out how to do all these things along the way. Well, with a startup,
that is
with
one
a young...
question, potentially, yes.
With this, it's number one, probably because your boss believes in you and that you'll figure it out, because whoever put you in that role probably already knows your skill set and also knows that they probably need to help you grow in that area to help you do your job. So hopefully that's a situation, unless, you know, you weren't forthcoming on your CV or something.
I think that's a really good point, right? I think a lot of people feel this, what they call the imposter syndrome, right? Mm-hmm. Where you feel like you're not qualified to do something. And I think the reality is a lot of us don't really know 100% how to do anything, right? But then it's really, you have to put in the effort, you have the confidence in yourself, you try, right? So when you start getting these new projects that are bigger, do you expect to get promoted first before you do the big project? Or do you expect a raise? Or, you know, how does that fit into it?
Actually, no. Every time I finished a project or did something, I would get pretty bored. So what I did with earlier on in my career was I would grow through each department and then kind of restructure each department or business line or service or whatever that was. And I would do the role for a little while until I felt really comfortable about it, worked out all the kinks, and then I would hand it over to the new manager. I love doing that. I would tell everybody, look, if I'm still doing this job next year, that means I'm doing something wrong, because I want to make myself redundant from this role so that somebody else can do it. And that was always my MO moving throughout the company. So number one was people loved working with me because they knew they can always take my job. So what I would do is the money definitely came, because then I ended up being in a position where let Anne do it. She makes her job easier. So pretty much me as an employer in the future is I loved working with staff that would make my job easier. Of course, I want to pay them more because that means less headache for me. So that's what I became: less headache for my boss, more money for me later on. And it would just come. Now, if it doesn't come, you also need to know your value and know how to ask for it. This may be for another talk.
Well, I think that's a really good point, because it's something that I try to also always tell people that I speak to about their careers is, you know, you have to hand off what you're doing, because if you don't train other people, then you're stuck doing that same thing. Now,
exactly.
I've heard some objections. Some people say if you teach somebody else everything you know, the company doesn't need you anymore and they'll just fire you, right? But I think that it only happens when you are not demonstrating your ability to learn, right? And so I think with Anne, you know, you were able to continue to move up because you proved that every time you moved up and you had a new project, you were able to learn it, make a process out of it, teach someone, and then you can do something else. Right. Yeah. That's how things stay interesting.
Exactly. So that was what kept me the most interested in my job, was the ability to really do something, get really good at it, and hand it off to somebody else. Because if I didn't hand it off, I was going to be stuck. So this is eventually how I ended up in London. Eventually, I became the general director of Vietnam. And I did it for a couple years and did it really well and kind of started to get kind of, it got easy, a little easy. I loved my job. I loved the team. I didn't mind working late. I really loved everything I did. It was, some people could say it's a dream job, but there was just something else for me. I don't want to say something more for me, but something else. I couldn't do this forever because I'm starting to plateau. So I started to think about leaving the company. I already had my successor who I wanted to replace me. Now it was just basically up to corporate to give the green light. And, you know, something just fell out of the sky. This role in London came up and it was for a completely different role than what I've ever done. And so here we go. The learning curve is steep again. And so I'll pause there to see if Lynn has any questions before I continue.
Well, I think it's really interesting, and I know the next step in your career. I'd like to switch gears a little bit and talk a little bit about your personal life.
Sure.
So when you accepted the role in London, what else did you find out at the same time?
Oh, dear. Well, first, how did I decide to accept the role in London? I had an Excel spreadsheet of like how to negotiate, because what is it going to take for me to go in London, even though I really want to do it? And one thing I left out that we didn't mention is my spouse wasn't going to join me because
your husband would stay in Vietnam.
My husband would stay in Vietnam. Okay. We both had good careers. And one of the decisions on why I wanted to go to London was, it was a really cool job, something I'd never done before. And if I didn't do it, I always would have wondered what I could have done. And now here's a little bit of a domestic thing is if my spouse and I ever got into an argument, I might resent him for not going. And I would hate to think that or ever use that in an argument. So we decided, okay, we'll go 2 years and come back. So I accepted the job. 2 weeks later, I find out I'm pregnant with our first child. And then it was first an oh shit. And then it was, oh, this is great. And then it was, okay, what are we gonna do? And it was too early in the pregnancy to like tell anybody, but then I felt I needed to tell my new boss because they lobbied really hard to get me to London. And they met all of my demands when I negotiated, almost all the demands. And hopefully none of them ever listened, but they gave me more than I would have accepted, but then more than I actually would have settled for. then I spoke with
you have to ask, right?
Yeah, I had to ask.
It doesn't hurt to ask.
So I asked, I talked to a couple of my mentors and asked what they thought. And one of my best friends, who's quite a bit older than me, she said, you know what, Anne, just do it. If it gets too hard, you can quit and come back home. Just as simple as that. And so my spouse and I were like, you know what? Yeah, let's just do it. Everybody thought it was crazy. So I did London, Vietnam back and forth for 6 months until I couldn't fly anymore. You know, I was like 30 something weeks pregnant. Then I just stayed in London.
And did your husband join you in London for the delivery?
Yeah. Well, he was on a business trip in Singapore. My water broke early and I called him and I said, you might want to get on the plane now and come. And he's just wearing shorts. He's there for a day trip, so he doesn't have any clothes with him. And it's October in London.
Oh no.
So he's freaking out. And I'm like, he's worried about me. And I said, no, don't worry about me. I'm worried about you. And so he jumps on the flight, gets to London. And
did he get to London just before you delivered?
Just in time for the delivery. Oh. Yeah. So, I mean, just a quick little story about my delivery is I worked a lot when I was in London because I was playing catch up. I had this new role. It's a product manager of our digital transformation of our internal and external customer service platform, digital customer service platform. And so what a product manager does is they're pretty much the CEO of a product. They direct how a product is built, what features are being built, et cetera. And so, yes, while I can do that, I didn't know how to do the technical parts of it, you know, documenting it and how to communicate, having all these scrum meetings, et cetera, all these new things. So I'm busy playing catch up this whole time and I don't have any time to prepare for the baby to come. So my water breaks 3 weeks early. I have nothing in my service department. You can't even tell that a pregnant woman lives there. There's no baby books. There's no baby clothes. So I go to the hospital, water breaks. The hospital says, actually, you're okay. Just come back tonight. So I call a baby concierge service. They take me. I go in for 60. Yeah, it's amazing. I go in, sit down, 15 minutes. My water is broken, by the way. 15 minutes. They do a consultation. I walk through the showroom, 45 minutes, got every single thing that a mother needs for a baby. They sent it to the hospital, the things that I needed. And 3 days later, they sent everything else to my home and set it up. Wow. The most efficient 60 minutes of my entire life. Yeah. Anyway, so
totally.
Go back to work.
Mom spent like 9 months buying everything.
Oh no, I was too busy trying to figure out how to do my job.
That's awesome. That is a working mom.
It did come at a cost later. But I digress there from the question that you originally asked. So I think the theme of this talk is how do I figure out what to do when I'm tasked with something. So in that case, I really used my network there, learned as much as I can and talked to my boss. Obviously, my bosses knew what my capabilities were. They know what my previous role was. They lobbied for me to get there. And the main reason why I was there was because I knew the company like the back of my hand. Now, how do I bring that, the value of that knowledge, to this project? And so they were supportive in like when I needed support and, okay, actually, I don't know what this role really means. So can you hook me up with somebody from, you know, Salesforce was their provider. So I worked a lot with them and they really kind of showed me how to do my job. And
that's great.
Yeah. That was a fun journey.
That's awesome. That is an incredible journey. 13 years, a husband and 3 kids and 2 countries later. I think that's quite amazing. So just a quick recap, everybody, the lessons that Anne shared with us. In any project that you attack, first of all, do your research, right? Google's your best friend. Talk to people, look for experts, dig as deep as you can so that you become the expert. And then now you can create the solution. And then once you do the solution, now figure out how to improve it. And then teach someone else and then hand it off and start over. But this time, it's not like you're starting over here. You start over here and then do it. And then you start over higher, right? And that's how you move up over the course of 13 years to run the entire company in Vietnam, and then get moved to the headquarters in the UK. So I think that's an amazing journey. And then I also want to note that on the personal side, I think something you said was really insightful. Your decision to go to London while you were pregnant without your husband was because you just do it. It's life. Just do it. If you don't like it, you can always come back. Right? And I think that's something that's so simple. But a lot of people don't keep that in mind when they're facing a big decision, right? Everybody always thinks if you go this way, you can never come back this way. And I always feel like, you know, in life, there's never a never, right? And so it's you having to make your own path. And true, sometimes if you open this door, you may partially close another door. But I feel like people hesitate to do things that may be new or outside of their comfort zone because they don't want to, you know, just try something different. But, you know, I think if everybody just takes what you said, Anne, and said, look, just try it, you can always come back. I think that is a great way to look at any new decision that maybe you're a little bit afraid of. So I think we had, hopefully everybody learned some tips today for your career and for your life. Thank you very much, Anne, for your time. And we're out of time today, but tune in again next Tuesday for our next conversation with an expert. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.